Now, a heartbreaking story next. The mother of a teenager killed when his motorbike collided with a car driven by the wife of a US diplomat is appealing for that woman to return to the UK for questioning. Charlotte Charles has urged her, as a mother, to come back and speak to the police. This woman is currently using diplomatic immunity to not do so. 19-year-old Harry Dunn died in August near RAF Croydon in Northamptonshire. Although the driver of the car told police she had no plans to leave the UK, she then flew out with her family shortly afterwards. The woman is being protected by diplomatic immunity. I've been speaking to Charlotte Charles, and I began by asking her why she feels she has to speak out about this.
Purely to try and get change. Number one, to try and get justice for Harry. We don't understand why somebody with supposed diplomatic immunity is allowed to flee back to their own country and not face our UK justice system, and they can't face us. And if we can't get justice that way, then we will keep going to try and get those laws changed. It's just not fair. We've got to get it out there as far and wide as we possibly can.
And Charlotte, if any of the questions I'm asking you, I know they will be difficult for you, and I'm not trying to cause you pain, but
I
think part of what you want to do is convey to people the deep sense of hurt and loss that has happened here while someone has fled the country.
Yeah.
When was the last time you spoke to your son?
The afternoon of the 27th of August. And I actually passed him on my way home from work that evening, and he gave me a nod of his motorbike, as he did when he acknowledged somebody that he knew, and he would just nod and let us know, as bikers do, that he'd noticed us. And I that was the last I saw of him until he was laying in hospital, having lost him.
Were you and Harry close?
Very. He's got a twin brother. We're a very, very close family. Him and his twin brother, myself, my husband, Harry and Niall's dad, and stepmom, that we don't call stepmom, we call second mom. We're all a close-knit family, always have been, for the sake of the boys. Thankfully, in this situation, we're all giving each other strength, but Harry, there wasn't a day went by when Harry didn't check on how our shifts had gone at work. Even if he didn't get home till 10:15 at night after finishing at 10 o'clock, he would still come into our bedroom, whether the door was open or shut, and ask us how our day was before we had a chance to ask him how his day was. He was a big character with a big heart.
I heard you saying he was a cheeky, full of life boy.
Yeah, very cheeky. Cheeky smile. A really good listener if anyone needed to talk to him. He was a very free-spirited young man, always out. Just every opportunity he had to ride his bike, he would ride. Hence, he gave up he worked really hard at college, came out with merits and distinctions in gaming and IT, had the opportunity to go to university, and he gave all of that up to be able to get a full-time job and fund his passion for riding his bikes and buying his season tickets for Northampton Town Football Club. He really fought for what he believed in, and that's another reason why we're doing what we're doing and going through what we're going through, because he really did fight for his rights, and he stood up and he told people when he thought they were wrong, and we'd be letting him down if we didn't do this.
I am so, so sorry that you're having to go through this. I really, really am, Charlotte. Can you tell me about the day when this happened? Your son Harry was near RAF Croydon in Northamptonshire.
Yeah, he was coming out of Croydon on the correct side of the road, and an American lady pulled out of the RAF Croydon base on the incorrect side of the road. The CCTV footage that the police, Northants police, have gained proves that she travelled 350 to 400 yards down the road towards Croydon as Harry was coming out of Croydon. And unfortunately, where the crash site is on a brow of a hill. So Harry had, or she didn't either, have any time to react to try to avoid each other. We do have that CCTV, well, we don't personally, but the police have that CCTV footage.
Have you seen it?
No, we haven't seen it. They've not released it, but they've been honest with us and told us that they've got it. It should have been a clear-cut case. If she wasn't covered by this diplomatic immunity cloak, then she would have been trialled and facing justice. And we didn't have any reason to believe that she wouldn't be. It was so obvious what happened. They had 100% proof of what happened. But to be told the next day, she was told the next day by police that she'd killed our boy. And she sat in her rented house, we believe with her family, and said that she had no intention of leaving.
Was it because of...
she did.
Why was she not arrested immediately and detained?
To be fair to Northants Police, they've said that it's not a usual thing to do on the evening of a crash. She'd been breathalysed and found to be innocent of that, which we appreciated. She was probably traumatised by what she'd done, even though she didn't know at the time that she'd killed him. She was traumatised. So, as they would usually do, apparently they followed their usual guidelines and let her go. And they were hoping to then gain an interview with her at a later stage. But obviously she didn't hang around for that. We don't know whether she had no choice in that, whether she, because of this diplomatic immunity cloak, whether she was told that she had to leave. We'd like to think that that was more the case than just wanting to flee and run away. We'd find that, me being a mum myself, I would find that really hard to think that she would just run away and not stand up and see what she's done.
And yet, while there is silence, that's a possibility.
Yeah, absolutely. And we don't know, we don't understand yet the full extent of this diplomatic immunity. We've had advice on it.
What have you been told, Charlotte?
We've had advice that, you know, if she does have diplomatic immunity, that Dominic Raab, that our foreign secretary that seems to be on our side, we are hoping that he's going to put in a waiver to have that pushed to one side, to have her brought back. If that's not the case and that waiver gets declined, then the GoFundMe page that friends and family have set up for us. We will use that money to go to Washington if we have to. We will go and see President Trump. We will ask him to waive it. We will ask him directly. We will do what we can to bring her back. We're in a usual UK family in South Northamptonshire that wouldn't wish any harm on anybody. We don't wish her any harm. She's a mom. We don't want to take her away. I don't want to take her away from her kids either. But she's taken one of ours. And she's taken my twin boy's twinship away. Our other son is dealing with trying to find who he is now. They have other siblings from both sides of the family. Siblings are one thing, but a twinship's really strong. And our other son's now having to try and deal with the fact that his twinship's gone. So if we have to go to Washington, we will do it. And if that doesn't achieve anything, the money that people keep giving, we're going to use to try and change the laws of this diplomatic immunity so that they can't come over here and kill someone and flee and live undercover. It's inhumane and it's not right.
Do you know who this woman is? Do you know her name?
We suspect. We live in a small community. But we haven't had it confirmed. We would never want to release that information because we as a family don't have proof, but the media are out there working really hard to get that proof. All we know is that she had two children in the car with her at the crash scene, and we feel for those children too. We're not sure of their ages, but they must be traumatised. It's a horrible, horrible case we're finding ourselves in, a horrible situation we're finding ourselves in. But if we sit back and do nothing, and we don't at least try and bring her back to face justice, or if we can't get that, if we don't at least try and change the laws, we could never live with ourselves if this happens to another family.
This interview has gone out in the BBC, and obviously the world is a much smaller place now. And people in America may indeed hear this interview, may hear your voice. If this woman were to be listening to you now, what would you say to her?
Just to tell her to get on a plane. Try and waive her own diplomatic immunity if she's got it. Come back and see us. Just to face us. We don't know how she's feeling. We can only assume that she's traumatised as well. But she's still got her family and some of ours is missing. A huge part of ours is missing. And we can't move on. We can't begin to grieve properly. We can't rest. We have no face to a name. We have nothing. We have absolutely nothing. Whereas if she was a UK citizen that had wandered across the other side of the road because she was on the phone or whatever else, they'd have faced their day in court by now. We'd have met with them. We'd have had something to work with. And we've just been left and tried to be swept under the carpet. But
And do you get a sense of that? Do you get a sense that
Yes.
That you're getting swept under the carpet? By whom?
I think that's what they were hoping. I think the US Embassy were hoping. The US Embassy, we feel, were hoping to probably just try and wave us off with this diplomatic immunity. And
why do you say that, Charlotte?
Because we've had no contact. Nobody contacted us. It was only 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks later when we actually declared to our Northants police that Harry's stepdad, stroke second dad, is a US citizen, that we then received 48 hours later a letter from the US Embassy or the US Ambassador.
And what did they say to you?
He just expressed his condolences, offered a phone call. Where's that going to get us? You know, condolences isn't enough. We need justice changed. We need the laws changed, I should say. We need justice for Harry. She can't be allowed to just go home and ignore it.
This is not what diplomatic immunity was designed for, obviously.
No, diplomatic immunity was designed to protect the diplomats and their families inside of London. And the diplomats themselves outside of London, if they were in danger. She was on the other foot here. She wasn't in danger. My son was. Our son was. And she killed him. Unintentionally. But she killed him. Diplomatic immunity was not raised and placed to cover that escapism. And that's what we can't live with right now. Something's got to change.
The US State Department have released a statement in which they have said, "We express our deepest sympathies and offer condolences to the family of the deceased in the tragic August 27th traffic accident involving a vehicle driven by the spouse of a US diplomat assigned to the United Kingdom. Any questions regarding a waiver of immunity with regard to our diplomats and their family members overseas in a case like this receive intense attention at senior levels and are considered carefully given the global impact such decisions carry. Immunity is rarely waived. We cannot speculate on what actions the British government may take. While we are in close consultation with the appropriate British officials, we cannot comment on private diplomatic conversation with the British government." So it seems to me that when they say we cannot speculate on what actions the British government may take, that's a prompt for me to wonder what is the British government doing to
Absolutely.
Get you and your family justice? Do you know what they're doing?
No, we don't at the moment, and we've speculated ourselves as well as to whether they are doing everything they can do.
Well, is our government in touch with you regularly or not?
We've had a statement released by Dominic Raab that you've probably seen. He said that he's clearly on our side from the statement. I can't recall it right now. I've done too many interviews today and I'm tired. I'm sorry.
It's
but
okay.
He has agreed to meet with us this week. Our local MP, Andrea Leadsom, she's met with us. She's right behind us. If the UK government are at fault, that's another battle we're going to have, and that's another thing that we will try to change to make sure it doesn't happen again, so that anyone in this country is never, ever let down in the way that we feel that we have been so far. But we won't let this rest. We will keep fighting and we'll keep going. And we will get some answers. If they're not the answers that we hope they are, we will just keep fighting for change so that, heaven forbid this ever happens again to any other family, they won't have to face what we're facing now, and they'll be able to get justice much, much quicker for their child or their loved one, whoever it may be.
Charlotte, it's impossible for anyone listening to this not to be deeply sympathetic, and your pain is excruciating to listen to, and that is just a modicum of the pain that you must be feeling.
The pain is just head to toe, inside and out, all day. Nothing. There's not one part of us that doesn't hurt. And we need to be able to grieve to try and help that pain. But we can't because we have nothing to work with. So we can't grieve. We're having to stay really strong every day and just keep going. And that's what we intend to do. But we deserve the right to be able to grieve. And most people in this country, when they lose somebody, and the case that we've got should have been a clear-cut case. We should have been able to start to grieve. It should have been a clear-cut case with the 100% evidence they've got of what happened. And that's what we can't let go.
Well, let's see how hard the British government fight for you and your family.
Yeah.
Let's see. And let's see how the Americans react, the US State Department reacts to that.
Mm-hmm.
And you say that if you don't get answers soon, you're going to go to America?
We will, yeah. We'll book flights to Washington by the end of the week, probably. We're not going to sit on it. We're not going to let it lie. We've got to keep it going. And we will do whatever we need to do. And like I said, if we can't bring justice, or if they won't allow us, the UK government and the US government, if they don't allow us to bring justice, we will still keep fighting, and we will keep fighting to find her. There must be people over there now with coverage in America, which we know is going out. We know is already being aired. There must be people there that know her. They know the family. You know, if they're human like we are, then surely someone's going to come forward and say, this is the woman, this is the family. Because they need to be able to move on too. They can't live in hiding forever. You know, it's not healthy for her, and it's not healthy for the kids, and it's not healthy for whoever the hell she's married to.
Well, all we know is it's a senior diplomat.
Yeah, that is it. That's all we can assume. That's all we can assume, but we will keep going, and we'll do whatever we need to do, and we will keep fighting for as long as we need to fight until we can rest assured that we've done everything we possibly can as a family of four parents and a twin that's been left behind and other siblings and friends and family that loved him so much.
Charlotte, I don't
we
want to...
We won't give up.
I know you won't. I can hear that. And I don't want you to go through any more pain today talking about this, and I know you're tired. The one thing that cannot be taken away from you is the obvious, profound love you had for your son.
Yeah.
And we can all hear how hard you're fighting for him to get justice.
Uh-huh.
I wish you well, Charlotte.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, my goodness, that's a heartbreaking interview. It really is.